got something cool for you guys today. Special guest. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Man vs. World. And oh, I'm hyped today. I'm hyped because I've been cooking something in the oven for a long time now. And it's time to finally start rolling this stuff out to you. We've got a whole new guide that I've created. And when I mentioned that I was making a new guide, some of the guys in the community were getting real hyped. They're like, oh, dude, your guides are legendary. And it's been a while since I've done one. For those of you who are, you've done the Stop Porn, Start Living guide or the Metascript Method or the Anabolic Axioms. Well, we got a new one to add to the Pantheon. And it's called the God Mode OS. And so you can go ahead and click the link in the description to grab that for free. Let's talk about what this is, because that's kind of the whole topic of conversation today, all right? So let's turn the clock back a little bit to when I was younger, and I had just gotten dumped by my eighth grade girlfriend. At that time, I was feeling pretty bad about myself. I was feeling like, man, I don't want anyone to ever be able to reject me again. I want to become so good that no one can turn me away. And I kind of became obsessed with self-development. And in that time period, up until honestly a few years ago, I was very much in what you might call a hard work mentality. I was in this idea that, oh, if I just try harder, then I can be better. And to some extent, this works, especially in the beginning or when you're not trying. Right. If you go from zero effort to some effort, you're definitely going to see some improvements in your life. But the problem was, like, as I became more competent and I was working harder and harder and harder, eventually you reach like a ceiling in how hard you can work. You run out of hours in the day. You run out of just like literal brain juice, and no nootropic or, you know, caffeine supplement or whatever can just make you focus harder. So like at that point, if all you've got is this hard work mentality, you're kind of sunk. You don't really have any other options to get ahead. And what I've found is that, like, at that point, you got to start being smarter. You got to actually find alignment. You need to figure out how can you get your interests, your natural interests and the desires, to line up with your current reality in the world at large. And if you can create a synergy in that, well, then you can get a lot more bang for your buck, like, and you can get leverage. You can, you know, each hour of work produces a lot more money, or it produces a lot more fitness, or it produces, you know, more happiness and, you know, better relationship quality and everything like that, because you're doing things right. You're doing things in a way that really just lines up with who you are and who you want to be. Okay. But the big trick to pulling this off is, like, well, how the heck do I find that alignment? Right? Like, that's a challenge. It's very difficult to know what your path is in life. And if you don't have any methodology for discerning that path, you don't have any way to get yourself to, even if you found it, to then walk it, well, then again, you're still stuck. And so I've spent a long time delving into the mechanics of how the heck do you pull this off. And what I've found is a set of very, very powerful principles, a framework, an operating system, if you will, for high performance that has a kind of unique twist to it. Because this isn't just like your normal, like, high performance perspective. It's one that's deeply personal to me, but I think it's, in many ways, it's universal, because it's a spiritual framework. And that's why I call it God mode. You know, if you guys are familiar with the old, you know, video games and stuff, there used to be a code that you could enter in that would like make your character invincible. I remember the first time I saw it, I was watching my dad play the old Doom shooters on PC, and he would put God mode in, and all of a sudden his little character's eyes would get like glowing yellow and he'd be invincible and all that kind of thing. And so it's kind of like a play on this, because it's like high performance from a higher power. And to kind of talk to you guys about this, about how we got there and what we're trying to do with this, I brought on my business partner, Derek Viveros. Derek, how you doing, man?
Hello, thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. So Derek and I have been working together for a while now. Have we been working together longer than Pete? Was Pete here when I first started working with you?
Yes. Same time. I think it was like 3 weeks before.
Yeah. Pete's here, like, too. What's up, Pete?
Pete was here for 3 weeks.
Okay.
I've not replaced Pete.
Yeah, you were doing ads for Mark when I got brought on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, part of the incentive for all of this was because I really wanted to be able to focus a lot more on the content and not have to really work so much on the business aspect, because I was feeling like that was really holding me back. I wanted to scale my efforts. And Derek, you know, he's really good at that kind of stuff, the business side of things, but he's also really been helping me talk through and flesh out a lot of these high performance ideas. Because you guys know I've been helping guys quit porn for like almost a decade now. And in that process of helping guys quit porn, I just like learned a lot of stuff that was very unique. And I think just because quitting porn is a very weird problem. It's something that doesn't like exist in other like problems. Like the drug dealer sits in your pocket. So it's like you have to go deep to solve a problem like that. And so what I've discovered there, not only did it help guys quit porn, it also kind of really has a lot to do with high performance. And that was one of the big things I wanted to get into, because this God mode operating system is designed to help you become the man that you're meant to be, like answer your divine calling, become the highest version of yourself, and basically do that with less stress, less worry, less internal conflict, and far more ease, peace, passion, and joy, really. I mean, that's, and it works. It's not just, that's the thing that's, you know, so amazing about it, is that it's pretty clearly effective. So what do you think, Derek? Have I hit on the main selling points of it, do you think?
I think so. I mean, I guess we'll talk about like what got us here to, there was a journey of like kind of pushing how far we wanted to go with it as far as like our personal experience. But I think it comes down to like the contrast between how we approach high performance versus everything that's out there. It's most of it's about grinding, trying harder, you know, work hard. Like, you know, people are getting diseases because they're pushing too hard, you know, like they're stressing themselves out. They're, everything looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it's like they go home crying at night because they hate what they do, or they, you know, they secretly would love to do something completely different. They're slowly building some sort of, like I said, some disease or something in their body. Like there's so much negatives to grinding and grinding towards some sort of external success that isn't going to make you happy. You know?
Right.
So what
right.
we're talking and when... about is like, how do you align everything so that you're actually on fire with joy and passion, and you're
right.
bringing as much good as you can possibly bring into your life and to the people around you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like the one thing I want to make clear here though, is that like, this is not like The Secret 2.0. Okay. Cause that's the, like on one extreme, we've got like the, you know, eat your nails for breakfast and stay hard, who's going to carry the boats kind of shit. And then on the other hand, we've got like the new age community over here, just like visualizing themselves into their, you know, multi-million-dollar yacht and that sort of thing. Okay. It's like, it's not that, it's not this, it's something unique in the middle. Cause like at the core of the whole thing, we recognize that like, there needs to be sacrifice, all right? And we call it dignified sacrifice specifically. There's only a certain kind of sacrifice that you really want to be making in life. But outside of those essential sacrifices, really, life can be fun. It can be, like, really wonderful. Now, if you're in a bad spot right now, it's like, you know, might take a little bit of doing to get there, but I believe that everybody can. You just, it's just a, you need the right tool set. You need the operating system to really pull it off. So what do you think? Let's go ahead and maybe get in a little bit to like what, how our main framework is set up. And you remember, you can just go download the new God Mode guide if you want to get it all in more detail, but we want to definitely give you an overview of how this works. So the main thing, and we can probably put some diagrams up on the screen here somewhere, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and just say, like, it might be a little bit of a way to explain how we got here. The concept, like, so what drew me a lot to you, Mark, was you talked a lot about dignity. Like, and, you know, from when you're listening to people talk on the internet and, you know, like about bettering themselves, whether it's quitting habits or moving towards goals that you have, nobody was talking about dignity. And it was like, whoa, this guy is talking about something deep here. And I came back to the Catholic faith 5 years ago. So, and you mentioned like New Agey and all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember when The Secret came out. You know, they literally, like, it was a secret because they didn't let anyone see it. You had to get like a referral to watch it online. Like, yeah, this was like
probably that's good marketing.
16, yeah, it was. It was like, oh, what? I want to watch it. Like, there was a lot of that going on. So it was like, it was huge. Like, for me personally, it was really big. Until you start realizing that it's not the whole picture, right?
Right.
It's maybe a little part, sort of, but. Anyway, I've seen all of that, and that's why I was drawn, and then coming back to the faith, going through all that journey, and then coming back to the faith spiritually through to Catholicism. When you were talking about dignity, I was like, this guy's talking about something good. And then I was like, maybe he's Christian, I don't know. And eventually I kind of put two and two together, and I think maybe you said it in one of your things or something like that. But I was like, okay. You know, so dignity is a major, like, foundational piece to this whole framework, because how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to our goals and our authentic goals and our authentic, like, if we're connected to who we really are, then that's how God has made us. And so I guess that's the cool thing about having like our faith behind us, because it gives us these like principles, and it's, and everything's kind of governed from that. And there's just so much goodness to all of it. And it's created this framework that just touches on all these pieces. Like, one of the things you were saying just recently, and you were talking about, you know, anyone who's, you know, thinking about bettering their life, it's like, you know, you said, I believe you can do it. It's like, that's in our faith. Like, we believe that each of us have this unique greatness, this we're all called to what we say we could call sainthood. Right. But yeah, in maybe the secular world, or people who aren't Christians, they might say, you know, their greatness, you know, it's whatever is like you're truly called for. We're all meant for something really, really good. And I think that's like a awesome foundation to where to start from. And I don't think anyone else really talks like that, you know?
That's true. And like, the reason why I talk like this, and just to put it in context, because I know for like me growing up, you know, I went to Catholic school my whole life and everything. And then, you know, they would talk about dignity, and I'm just like, cool, whatever. Didn't give a crap about it at all until I understood the practical utility of dignity. And I really had to confront this when I was helping guys learn how to quit porn, because at the end of the day, it's like they needed to have justification to sacrifice for themselves, right? Because for that guy to not use porn in that instant, okay, he doesn't get any immediate reward. In fact, he might not feel major rewards for, you know, sometimes months. Okay. But he knows that if he doesn't do this, it's going to destroy his life. And so in order for him to find that justification, he needs to believe he's worth something better. And the problem was that a lot of these guys, they weren't happy with themselves. You know, they had this very conditional view of their own worth, where it's like, I'm not making the money I want. I don't have the body I want. I don't have the girl that I want. And because of that, they felt low, like low status, low worth. And they then would sabotage, because as soon as they define themselves as bad, well, your brain takes that almost as a command. It's like, all right, well, I want to get away from the bad thing, i.e. the experience of being yourself. And that's when they would turn toward porn, because porn would offer this kind of like status simulation where they could pretend like they're this, you know, alpha stud or whatever. And so in order to get guys out of that at a deep level, I had to shift the fundamental way that they like valued themselves and realize that, hey, your worth is unconditional. And that's what we call dignity, this unconditional inherent worth. You know, Christians justify this by the idea that, you know, you're made in God's image and Jesus died for you even though you're a sinner. And there's other different ways in which you can come to that conclusion. You know, maybe we can get into it if we think it's interesting. But the core thing is that when you realize your dignity is that you ultimately find infinite justification to becoming better, infinite justification for sacrificing for your own highest conception of goodness. And so without this, you basically only have as much justification as you have like a personal sense of, I guess, status and need. And so like, that's one of those things where you might just not have those unconditionally all the time. And so by tapping into your dignity, you're tapping into an unconditional power source. And that's why it's at the root of everything that we do.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
Pete, so, Pete, add to that.
Here's the thing. I grew up in a Christian household my whole life, right? But when it took Mark pointing it out through his video, I think it was called Enter the Omni Game or something. Took him pointing it out and saying, look, there's two different types of sources you can be using. There's this dark side Sith Lord energy, and there's this light side Jedi energy. And it took, and he went through the different levels of each side. And it was very entertaining. It was very well done. But he got to the Sith Lord, and I'm looking around at my life because I've been blessed to be able to do a lot of different things, especially for someone my age. I've done a lot of different stuff. And I realized after watching that video that I was using dark side Sith Lord energy, even though I believe that I don't ascribe to that method of thinking, I was operating in it without me realizing it. And so you can think, oh yeah, I have inherent dignity, I'm basically good, but what do your actions say? How are you actually operating in the world? Because you might find that there's a disparity there between what you claim to believe and what you actually believe.
So let me give you guys an example so you know what Pete's talking about here. So it's like the one of the simplest examples is the guy, like, how does he motivate himself to go to the gym? Okay. Does he say, you go to the gym or else you're fat and you suck? You know, basically like threatening yourself with like basically self-abandonment. It's like, hey, I'm going to hate you unless you do this. It's like, if you don't perform, you're not good enough. That's vacuous energy. It's this idea that you're not already good enough. Okay, that's this dark side Sith Lord energy he's talking about. Or you could say, hey, you're inherently good. In fact, you're inherently perfectly good. Nothing can make you any better or any worse. However, if goodness is your nature, then for you to go against it will cause you pain. It'll cause you harm. And so if you want to actually honor your nature and not cause yourself more pain, then we need to reflect that goodness in what we do. And so if we're good, then let's have that be reflected in our body. Let that be reflected in our fitness. And so let's go to the gym and honor our dignity. So it's like those, you can get yourself to do stuff using dipping into either jar of energy there, but one of them sucks and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, and that's a very common thing for most people who are high achievers or wannabe,
right?
Is how do you get yourself to do so? It's the motivation. How do you generate the motivation? And that's the go-to way, you know, that's the Michael Jordan way.
Right.
But what the other aspect to dignity that's really cool that we're adding to all this is like, well, how do you actually, because before you decide what to be motivated about, you got to get clear on what that is. So like, well, who is it that you want to be? What is it that you want to achieve? What is the kind of life that you want to build? How do you want to treat others? Blah, 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 right? Well, what is that? And so let's just take one of those, like the simple thing of like, well, what are your big goals? It's like, well, asking yourself that when you bring in the concept of dignity, you're actually like listening to the parts of you that actually might be dreaming quite big. And when you bring dignity into that, you go, well, first of all, I'm going to listen to that part of myself. And then I'm going to actually have like, because if we have unconditional love for ourselves, we can actually go, well, you deserve that. Like, you can have that. Let's see if that's possible. So in other words, you're leaving it open to the biggest dreams that you can come up with. And we as Christians believe that we're given these desires by God. And, you know, some, of course, they can get disordered or whatever. But But we're given these desires. So if we can, if we have the capacity to dream it, to desire it, then, you know, the question is that actually a true good desire? And do, you know, can I bring enough dignity into this to actually listen to it and actually think that I can move towards it and do something about moving towards it?
Right. Exactly. And so it becomes tricky, right? Like it sounds simple so far, but when you get into the weeds of it, it's like, all right, we got a bunch of different conflicting desires inside of us, like all the time. It's like, I want to eat the cookie. I want to lose weight. I want to go and, you know, build my business. I want to play video games. Like, you know, it's, we constantly have these kind of internal conflicts. And the question is, how do we resolve them? Because when you have no internal conflict, you're just aligned. You take off like a rocket. But the problem is so often we're just not like that today. We feel like we're pulled in a million different directions. And even if the directions are good ones, if your attention and focus is split, your results are still going to be mediocre or even poor. And so to really give you our model in a nutshell, here's how it works. All right. Ultimately, we want to achieve, we want to become like our ideal future self. Okay, we have this vision of this person we could be in the future, and you know, we let loose our limits and we actually think of like, man, who would I really want to be? Okay, that's kind of the goal, is like the best version we could possibly conceive of. Now, the problem is we gotta map our path to that person. Okay. And in order to travel that path, there's gonna be some times where we have to sacrifice. But we want to make the right sacrifices, because if you're like, one of the things that happens when people are so used to hard work is they're so used to squashing down their desires. It's like, yeah, I'll do anything to succeed. And they just squash their desires down, or their whatever down. And this leads them on a lopsided path where they actually don't even then know where to go. Because if your desires are getting squashed down, okay, you don't have a sense of discernment anymore. You're just going off of like what seems logically right, or you're kind of flying off into hedonistic pleasure. And so in order to reach our highest potential, we need to have a steering mechanism. And that steering mechanism is the balance between instinct and intellect. You know, I've previously called these like your primal and terminal self. But really what you're looking for is this golden thread through your life where both you emotionally are on board with something, you're emotionally fired up and compelled by the thing, but then intellectually it also sounds right and checks out with your, you know, morals and values and rational understanding of the world. You want to get both of these and not have some kind of lopsided thing. So for example, if someone's in a state of, you know, over instinctualizing, you know, they're just being too into their emotional instincts, then they can either show up as hedonistic, or for ambitious people, which is more common, is that they'll develop like poorly thought out plans. They'll create like what Stephen Pressfield calls shadow careers, where it's like, I just got to make this music album right now, when in reality, that's just doesn't serve any of your goals. It's just fun. So that'd be too instinctual. The flip side would be something like you become this over-optimizer. You become this guy who's like trying to do it all at once. He's trying to treat himself like a robot. He's trying to like have this super, you know, regimented to-do list. He's got all these habits he's trying to build. He's trying to take on this project, that project, that project. And as long as there's room in his calendar, he's trying to make it happen. And you know, that guy, he ends up burning himself out and losing track of what the heck he even really wants to do. And he just gets trapped and burnt out and usually falls back into some kind of hedonistic escape then. So we got to get this balance. And that balance between instinct and intellect, that's resonance. That's what like we would call the, like I believe, is like a tangible experience with the Holy Spirit. When we can thread this needle, this golden path through life of balancing instinct and intellect, where neither part is repressed, both parts are fully on the table, and we're connected to our future self, that's what I would call your divine mission in life. When you're really plugged in on that path, and that's like a spiritual thing, and you can learn how to sense it, like in your body, you feel it when you're doing that. And so that's the goal of God Mode, is to help you track this golden thread of dignified action and sacrifice so that you can become the highest version of yourself.
What is a time in your life where you weren't using God mode?
Many times. So a lot of like one of the biggest ways is like I can look back at things where on some level something sounded good, but like I knew that there was it wasn't fully clicked in. You know, anything from a YouTube video to a product to something like part of the reason why I think I struggled so much to really nail down exactly how I wanted to run this business is because I was always trying to operate from like what's right, what should I do. So when you start listening to shoulds, that's where you're going to be moving like too much from the intellect. So, you know, I've launched many different programs, I've done different kinds of things, and like none of them really clicked with me because after a while it's just like didn't light me up. Like I didn't like the way it was structured. I'm always pretty much always have liked the content I've done, at least that I've sold, but I didn't like my actual lifestyle that I was creating. So that's one of the biggest ways for me. What about you?
I think about one of the other businesses so my marketing business that I had when I was younger, it was like, it ended up being focused on the jewelry industry, like the independent jewelry industry. This is like, 10 to 15 years ago. So at the time it was a little bit more, there were a little bit more of them. But why did that happen? Because it was like, it kind of just like stumbled upon me because of the, like I learned under a mentor and everything. And so I didn't really, I was like moving towards that, like for those years. And then there came to a point where I was like, wait a second, what am I doing here? Like I realized I started scaling a little bit, building this processes, building a team. And then I was like realizing that there was going to be a lot more work to be able to take it to where I wanted to take whatever I was doing, like the kind of success that I was envisioning for myself. But the method, like the way of getting going there, I just started realizing that that wasn't my God mode. I was like, wait a second. But I mean, what's funny is that like during that period, I wasn't as aware.
Right.
That's the kind of funny thing. So it took sometimes it took some time for me to look back, maybe get to the threshold of it where you're like, oh, wait a second. This isn't feeling right. It kind of just stumbles upon you like, oh, this isn't feeling right. I know this isn't right for me. And then, when I think about everything that I've done in my life where I made a big shift, that's usually how I remember it. It's like, it just became this thing that wasn't right anymore.
Right.
And then I started something new. Right. Then I was like, well, what would be right? And then I gave myself the time to go through the resonance that we talk about in our framework, which is, okay, and we're using the highest conception of good, right? Allowing myself to actually think about, like, be free. Like, I remember putting a piece of paper down on a clean desk, and I put a pen beside it, not a pencil. And I made a rule for myself. You have to put everything that comes to your mind, any idea, and you can't erase it. And then the other thing was, the question I asked myself, what would I do with my work life if money or my own limiting beliefs didn't play a role? And then I would answer that question. And so I had to let the things come out. I couldn't stop the flow. So then I start thinking about it and okay, whoa, this and that, all these crazy ideas. I had this idea for this shoe, this sneaker. And I was like, what? This is crazy. So anyways, that realizing that I wasn't in God mode allowed me to go into a newer version of God mode for myself, where I totally did something completely different. Everyone around me was going, what the heck are you doing? But yet I got this a lot. This is so you, Derek. Mm. This is so you, because the shoe and the brand that I made around it was so aligned with who I was. And now this God mode is like the newest version of that.
Right.
So, I'm really excited about this time right now, because there was a little period in between there where I kind of was going through, what am I doing next? Because COVID happened and I had to put the shoe down. But now I'm going into a new version.
Right. That's awesome. And like, it's funny you mentioned how like sometimes you can just be out of alignment and you don't really know it. And this is why I think there needs to be an operating system based around these principles, because it's like, it was actually just, I think, in the gospel either last week or the week before, where, talking about God is the small quiet voice, right? It's the small, soft voice. Yes, it's not, that's right. It's not the fire. It's not the wind. It's not the, you know, the earthquake.
It was this last Sunday.
Yeah. And so it's like, that's what we're trying. We have to learn how to key into, and we can all sense that. I believe that that's baked into the capability of every human being. This is like, this is, you know, the God mode is not something new. It's something that like you're doing constantly, whether you know it or not. And like, we just want to make it like add concrete frameworks on top of it, because like when you start realizing the power,
well, it actually go really deeper with it.
Well, yes.
Like we're all using it, but we're not using it nearly as much as we ought to or can, you know, and I don't think it's ever going to end the journey of further going deeper into it. But most people are,
we might even get to the point where you can literally on your smartwatch be able to like track how much in resonance you are because of like, it's like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, it's like,
absolutely.
But this kind of stuff, I think, is it's kind of the future here, because we live in a world of like unlimited opportunity. All right. And the problem with unlimited opportunity is that there's no map through it. There's a million there is an almost infinite number of ways that you could get rich, for example, in the modern world. How the heck do you pick one? How do you focus on it? How do you double down to make it actually happen? Well, it's like you need to have a path, and the only way that you can have a path created for you is if you learn how to find it inside of yourself. And so it's like this alignment between instinct and intellect, it builds your path, it builds your, you know, your really your epic journey. This is the main quest line of your life. It's like in video games, you got that big, you know, arrow, that quest marker that tells you where you should be heading. This will show you how to do that. And like God mode, what we're going to be doing is breaking it down on like all the levels. So it's like, what's the big vision? Okay, what's the next step? How are we going to set up your habits? How are we going to modify your mindset? What are all the things that we need to do? It's like it's a lot of little pieces to really line yourself up. And it's just,
and it's not even just the opportunities, because that's, of course, that's the one half. The other half is the distractions.
Yes.
That our world is giving us all these opportunities, which is incredible. We have more wealth now than we ever had in our history of humanity, but yet we have the most distractions ever. So like, even if you go into the tradition of the faith, you know, like we've got all this wonderful tradition where they've learned all these great masters teaching how to do stuff like this in some way, shape, or form, maybe a little bit more focused on spirituality, which I would argue this is spiritual, but I think you know what I mean. but they never were dealing with what we're dealing with right now. Like nobody in history is dealing with what we're dealing with right now.
Yep.
And you know, this is our humble take on how to deal with it and sift through that journey that you're talking about. Well, the clearer we can get with it, then that'll be easier for us to say no to the things that are not it, because there's going to be more options to go away from our path now than there ever has been.
Right.
And I don't even have to go into all the reasons why that is and all the examples, but Pete, what are you thinking of all this when you're hearing us talk about this?
Well, Mark dropped the R word, so we got to talk about that, okay?
Okay, what's the R word?
Why does God want me to be rich? Am I not supposed to just go live in a cave somewhere and like eat honeycombs?
Maybe you are.
And just pray?
Maybe you are.
Yeah.
Have you checked in with that? Maybe that's your calling.
I actually have checked in with that, and it's a no for me, but...
I believe you did give that a serious consideration, though. That's a good question. Like, this kind of comes back to like the higher level mission that I have with this work that I believe Derek shares with me in this work. It's like, it's not just about, you know, getting people rich. It's not just about like high performance for high performance sake. Like, I don't actually care about that. I don't care if you just like get some soulless CEO or corporate job that like just makes you money and has zero positive impact on the world. Okay. Like, that's not interesting to me. What I want is good people to have more power, because I think that in the world today, the bad people have way too much power. And the reason that they have too much power is because the good people, they're not grabbing it. They're not guarding it. They're not holding, you know, the yes. like them accountable, essentially. And the reason why is because we just, you know, I think a lot of the reason why is because a lot of the good people, they don't know how to reach extreme levels of performance. Because if you're operating the dark side, it's pretty straightforward. It's just like sell your soul, right? It's like hate yourself to success, and then, you know, your reward is unlimited hedonistic pleasure. And so it's like you can, it's just pretty simple. But for people who have some level of respect for themselves, okay, that's not an option, because in order for you to follow that path, you have to kill your authentic human emotions. You're going to have to kill your compassion. You're going to have to kill your natural desires and interests and stuff like that. And you're just going to become a slave to like whatever the end goal is.
Well, and the lie about all that is that's actually like living hell.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah.
Because like the hedonism is just, it's never quenching, you know, thirst.
Right.
You're always wanting more. It never ends. You go to bed at night and you're, you know, what's the next thing? That wasn't enough. I thought it was going to be like this. And then deeply just wanting people to love you and nobody does. And, you know, like it's pretty sad.
Right. Right. And so it's like, I think a lot of people are actually too good for that path. They actually have too much of a natural connection to their own sense of dignity. But the problem is they don't know another way to get themselves to become a high performer, especially in the face of all these distractions and options. And so the best people are stuck in the middle in terms of performance and power. And so that's what I want to change. Like I believe that a man has a responsibility to acquire as much, like expand his domain of influence as big as he can while still maintaining true to himself, like being authentic, and then also governing that sphere of influence in a, you know, fruitful, productive kind of way. So like that's why I'm doing this, because I want your domain of influence. If you're a good guy, I want that to expand dramatically, and I want you to make that place, that whole domain, much, much better. Now for some guys, that's just going to be, you know, simple 9-to-5 and a family. Nothing wrong with that. A family, a well-run family can have ripples for generations, okay? Like, I'm not downplaying that. But I also believe that there are many guys out there who are called to something much more socially impactful in the present day. And so you are the guys that I want to reach. I wanted to get you guys, you need to have, if you want to have big influence, a lot of times you need money. And so, you know, making money is part of this, 100%. So does that make sense, Pete?
There's an old story that goes something like this, and I'll paraphrase it for you. But the trees got together one day, and they had a big meeting. They said, hey, we need a king. So they got together, they went to the olive trees, and they said, olive trees, be our king. And the olive trees said, I'm busy making olive oil, man. I don't have time for that. So they said, okay, well, I guess we'll go to the fig trees. So they go to the fig trees, and they say, fig trees, come be our king. And the fig trees say, man, I'm making fruit over here, man. I don't have time for that. And so they go, okay, well, let's go to the grapevines. So they go to the grapevines, and the vines say, I'm busy making wine over here, okay? I don't have time to be your king. So they go, okay, fine. You know what? Fine, we'll go to the thorn bush. So they go to the thorn bush, and the thorn bush says, if indeed you make me king, come rest in my shade. In other words, be unto me according to your word. So that's the problem. Good people like to be left alone. Generally speaking, they got their life going, they got their family, maybe they got their business. But when it comes to actually influencing others for the good, a lot of the times it's just not there.
And this is an issue I think with Christians in general, is they have this like idea of service, and they think of like, you know, Mother Teresa living in poverty. But like, honestly, getting into politics and being a serious, like actual non-scumbag aligned person would be a tremendous gift to society. That'd be a massive service. All right. It's like, it's easy for like, you know, people to think that like when you like what's good, what's the ideal life, right? The ideal life is just, you know, you make your money and you run off with your family and you do whatever the heck you want. Okay. And that's all well and good. And a lot of good people, they kind of see that as the dream. But the thing is then, like, you're not propagating that goodness in the way that you could. If there's no actual service where you're helping others develop their goodness, their greatness, you're not helping the world flourish. You're not removing the evil that is impeding people from flourishing. Then it's like, you're not really playing the game all out, I don't think.
Yeah, and I would say that, like, someone who does that, like goes out and, you know, makes a little bit of money, takes the family away and escapes from, you know, whatever. the thing is that we're trying to teach here is that, like, if you're connected with yourself, you know, and you're resonating with what's going on in you, you're going to listen to yourself. And most of the time, someone who does something like that is going to have a moment like I described that I had, right? Where it's like, things are okay. You don't feel like you're out of resonance, but then you get that nudge. You get that little whisper. There's something more. There's something more. You know, like, oh, maybe I was successful with my job and I was able to take my family out to this beautiful, you know, cottage or something like that. And it's like, but something is gnawing at you. I think we could agree that there's something in us men that we just want more. Like, we want to maximize our ability to create goodness. You know, it may not be thought of that way for each guy, but it's like, there's something more. There's purpose. And there's going to be those callings that you have in life. And are you going to listen to them? Or are you just going to, because maybe one thing might take you to one place, like one idea and desire when you're 20, like, I want to make a lot of money and buy a big home and have a beautiful wife. It takes you so far. You know, maybe you get that when you're 30, or maybe you don't, but you just end up changing your desire anyways. But my point is, it's going to take you to some point. If you just follow your desires and you try to be as authentic as you can with those desires as you can, it's going to take you to some point, and then it's probably going to change, and you're going to have to, like, listen again.
Yeah.
You know, but it takes courage, and there's this dignified sacrifice that you're going to have to, like, confront and go, wait, okay, if I want to listen to that voice, then I'm going to have to make a sacrifice here or there. I'm going to have to go into the unknown. I'm going to have to risk being not as good at what I was doing before in this new thing.
I can hear people saying, okay, well, that's great and all, but look, you know, that maybe they're thinking to themselves while they're watching this, I grew up in with a single mom, you know, in the house, and that was it. I didn't have a dad, or, you know, things are rough and I'm struggling personally with this or that and the other. So what you're saying is cool and all, but I don't see myself ever getting to that place.
Well, that person is like, well, do it for your own sake first. I mean, it's got to be a win-win. All right. That's one of the things about dignity here is that, like, if you're not winning, then you shouldn't be doing it. All right. Like, you know, that's not to say, like, you won't ever be seen as altruistic. Like, you know, I sacrifice for my daughter all the time. You know, I do stuff that, you know, on one level of me, I don't really want to be doing, you know, especially when she's waking me up a million times in the night, or, you know, there's some kind of messy accident or whatever. But the thing is, if I check in with myself, I actually do want to be doing those things, because that means I get to have her as a, you know, I'd much like, because that's what it means to be a father. And so, like, I love it. I'm all in on it, even if, like, part of me doesn't feel like it. So, like, it's still a win, is what I'm saying. It's like, what I'm not going to do is engage in a relationship or do something that doesn't serve me. And so before you can serve other people, you have to have a level of competence. You have to have your own shit together. So it's like, otherwise, if you try and go help other people while you're still a wreck, one, you're probably going to mess them up too. And then, additionally, it's just going to feel like it's stealing from you. You're not going to be stable enough. Your cup's not going to be full enough to overflow into there. So first line of, you know, business here is for you to fill up your own cup.
Okay, I got to start with me. How do I use this framework that you're talking about, this new framework?
Well, let me add to
do that.
Let me add to that a little bit. I think this is why we think that it's so powerful to bring our faith into this, because and again, if you don't have it, then, you know, maybe just consider the concepts and take them on, because they could be really helpful. Like, if you're in a situation and you don't feel like you've, you know, the situation's holding you back from whatever it is that you desire, like, there's a belief of your dignity, right? And of your unique greatness that you're being called to, like the man that you know that you're meant to be. Like, the fact that this is painful to you right now, if you're watching this and you're thinking about yourself being in that kind of situation, the fact that you're feeling that is actually proof that this is not how you're meant to be. Like, you're meant to for something more. And you know what that is deep down. You know what you desire. You know that the way you wish things were. Well, the wonderful thing about being human is that we can actually move towards that. And so you got to be able to find the hope and the courage to be able to maintain this vision for yourself, this man you want to be, you know? So it's about connecting with who that is inside of you, with behind all the noise, the crappy situation that you think you're in and that maybe you are in, and just really connecting with who you are and what that desire is inside of you. Because that desire that you have inside of you is actually really good. It's that you want a good life. You want to feel good. You want to experience joy and love. So you just got to, start watching our stuff and give yourself that nourishment that, that you can, that you have hope. And that's what we're trying to do here, is provide you this framework so that you can move forward. Because there might be a little sacrifice. It could be a small little thing in your life right now that you can do to move you a little bit more towards where you want to go.
Yeah, and I think the key with this resonance stuff, like where we get both instinct and intellect on board, is that when you only, like, you're only, if you, like, I'm at the point where I will only do something if I have resonance on it. And what's interesting about that is that it actually means that I'm always going to be following through pretty much with what I want to do. And if I don't, then it means that I didn't want to do it. And so it's like you start taking off like a rocket. And so people, they have this old frame of reference for how life feels when you're constantly fighting against yourself and grinding against yourself and that sort of thing. But it just changes once you realize, like, oh, I don't need to be grinding against myself. And like, yeah, sometimes you're going to have to confront pain. Like, you're going to have to confront truths, and these truths will hurt, but they will actually, like, it's not resistance then. So for example, if someone's got to change a habit, it's a bad habit. Okay. If they really follow through and they track through the resonance and stuff, and they find the way to approach it that actually clicks with them, it might have discomfort. There might be, stepping out, it might knock them out of homeostasis. There might be physical pain, but there won't really be like the kind of resistance that you would feel if you were being forced down a path that didn't really click with you. That's the worst. Is like, that's why I hated school so much. I didn't want someone telling me what I had to think about and what I had to like write about and all that kind of stuff. That's why I work for myself, is because like, oh, I just want to do what I want to do. And like, this is really just about finding like, what the heck do you really want to do? And when you start doing that, it lights you on fire, and you're going to take off in a way that you haven't before.
So what do you think, like, what if we talk a little bit about like what might be possible? You know, like, we're talking about all this stuff. There's this framework to, we're including the God mode, where can this take you? What could this take somebody? For me, I think about the future self, like, and what your desires are and how, and what is possible. Like, I think a lot of people get hung up on what's possible. They work within the frameworks of, their past and, what they already know. And there's so much opportunity that we're given right now, that there's so much opportunity for each and every one of us if we put our mind in the right place.
Well, as far as like financial profitability, I think like it's like anybody can get as rich as they want today if they like just keep tracking the thread. I really believe that. So I'm not really worried about the financial aspect, although that's a huge one, for sure, especially for a lot of men and stuff like that, who, you want, you have families you want to provide for, you want to be able to attract a good woman, definitely having money can help with that. But I think like the part that's most intriguing to me as I've been delving into this content is the ability to find my most unique self. Because that's what ends up happening, is like when your instinct and intellect are out of balance, you're always showing up as a partial version of yourself. You're not showing up as the real you. And the real you is this unique combination of all of your faculties. And it's like when you learn how to really track what is resonant for you, you start uncovering your unique charisma, your unique genius, your unique style in the world that is so undeniably you. And for someone who is like spent a lot of time on camera and stuff like that, trying to understand, you know, my personal brand and shit like that. Like, that's incredible, because it's like, when you do this right, every day, all you have to do is wake up and be yourself. And it's like, that's like, I hated that term, like, because I would see people who seem so effortlessly themselves and they were high performing and like people loved them. They're charismatic. They had everything going for them. And they just say, oh, you just got to be yourself. And I didn't know like how to do that. How do you be yourself? Like what's the internal mechanics? And the problem is that I think a lot of people who have that, they have an intuitive understanding of it. And so they can't transfer it to others. They just dumb it down to, hey, just be yourself. But I think with God mode here is we actually have a framework for helping you uncover that. And living better just is a matter of you learning how to behave more naturally, which to me is incredibly freeing, peace-inducing, and exciting. Because I think you're just going to be constantly discovering more of who you are. And it's just, you're awesome.
So I've been thinking about this a little lately. It's a little bit, it's of course within the framework, but it's a little bit off the main points. But I think it's worth talking about. The concept of yourself. Like when we say that, like, well, I want to be myself. And it's like, what is myself? And so here's what I've been thinking, like, how much of ourself is actually what we desire to be? Because a lot of how we are is based through some disorders, right? Like, you know, a fear of this, a fear of that, an anxiety of this, an anxiety of that. And like, I'm basically just looking at like who I want to be is I'm feeling like that's more of who I actually am. It's like, if I could choose, I'd have everybody communicate with me as if I'm my future self, as if I'm the person that I desire to be the most, because my desire of who I want to be to me is the most closest to whom, to me, like to my authentic me.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I teach. I teach that the true you is the man you most want to be, because anything other than that, like anything other than the man that you most want to be, on some level, there has to be some self-deception there. There has to be some self-limitation. There has to be some self-sabotage. There has to be some denial of something. It's like, until you are literally pursuing the man that you most want to be with all of your being, then you're not actually going to be have any shot at being your real self. You're going to be wearing some kind of mask of, you know, falsity.
Yeah. And that's where the art is, as is the ability to identify what that is. And this is what we get into in the framework. So identify what that is and then actually connect with it in a way that's very powerful emotionally, conceptually. Those two things are like, it can be easily overlooked to the importance of those things. And I think that what we've got here with the framework is it puts it all together in a way that it starts to click. It starts to make sense. They're not just these concepts on their own, but they kind of start working together in a way that it just clicks.
Yeah, I hope so. And I mean, like, we're going to be continuing to develop the content around this a lot. We're going to have a lot more content rolling out on the specifics of how to use this. You know, we're going to have some series, probably have some courses and, you know, programs and stuff like that. But for now, I just want you guys to check out the guide, and you know, we'd love to hear from you. You know, please let us know in the comments anything that, you know, we've said here that's clicked with you, that's resonated with you, because we're still in the early stages of nailing down everything with this. But where I stand is that I think that this has, like, I'm just so excited because I know that this stuff works. I know that there's a method of personal transformation that you can understand and you can start implementing right away and see dramatic life-altering changes in your life. Like, that's just what happens. And the biggest thing that I think gets in the way, and what I found, you can tell me if you agree with this, Derek, the biggest thing that gets in the way is the belief that it can't be that good. It's like, no, it has to kind of still suck, right? Like, I'm so used to, like, you know, especially the different ways I've built businesses and stuff like that, I always kind of like built it with this idea of like, yeah, well, you know, it's just going to suck somewhat. You know, it's just like, you know, there's always going to be this part where you don't like it and there's going to be drudgery and stuff like that. But I'm realizing that a lot of what I experienced on that level was simply because I just assumed it had to be there. And so I allowed it to exist and I didn't take it far enough. And so, yeah, I don't know, that's exciting to me to be able to show how that works.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that, like, I've been doing self-development, growth, business, spiritual, all this stuff for like 20 years. I've spent probably $200,000 on this stuff. And I've never come across something that encompasses the whole person the way that this does. And like, that's why I'm so excited about this, is that like, it factors in all the parts of, at least my experience of my life, of living. And, you know, we bring in the Christian angle because that's who we are. And that's how we, like live this out. So like, before, I find that, you know, we'd always be kind of pushing, myself and I know with Mark's stuff, we're pushing the, you know, how much we explain something, and to kind of respect people's positions. But we're kind of, at this point, we just want to share it all so that you can have the opportunity to decide for yourself if you want to take some of those ideas, for instance, like dignity, or even having, you know, a unique calling to greatness, you know, those two concepts, for example. But yeah, I just wanted to say, I've never seen anything else that's like this. And that's why that's what makes me most excited about this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be great. So remember, guys, make sure you check out the new God Mode guide in the description below, and let us know what questions you have around this. I know we did a lot of hyping up the new model. I hope we've given you kind of like an idea of what it's about. But in terms of future content, you know, particular problems you would like to solve, you know, with the God Mode kind of framework, let us know, and we can do content on that. We could do a podcast on it. We could you know, break it down for you, because I just, at this point, I feel like it's like you know, it's my divine mission to get this content to you guys, because of how much it's dramatically transformed my own way that I walk through this world. And so I wanted to do the same for you, frankly.
Good stuff, guys. I'm looking forward to reading it myself. I haven't read the thing, so I'm stoked. You guys got a sneak peek because you made it.
Right. So, all right, my friends. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Derek, for being here. Thank you guys all for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. Download the God Mode guide. Click the link in the description. And we'll see you all next time. Ooh, yeah.